G'day, my name is Suffolk Cram.
I'm Seb Moll.
Welcome to episode 229 of the Randers podcast, and you'll notice a slight change. We have a new co-host.
That's me.
That's Zaba. So, Zaba, tell us about yourself.
I'm Seb Moll. That's basically it. No, I used to do YouTube a lot back in the day. Played a lot of World of Warcraft. I've actually been on the podcast a couple of times before. Used to do YouTube in a network as well. Did a lot of videos on that. Done some Let's Plays on my own channel. Had a video editing tutorial channel and a vlog channel as well that I worked on for quite some time. Don't do any of that anymore. I used to stream a lot as well, every day, way back in the day, but don't do that no more either. Now it's just all about the rant nerds.
Basically, Zabemar was the professional amongst all of us.
not really.
Good. Well, it's great to have you on board, Zaber.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, we might as well get straight into it. So, what have you been up to, Zaber?
Well, since when? Since the 24 hour?
Well, yes.
So,
We had that
24 hour live stream.
Believe or not, we planned this before we started.
Yes. You know how it is. You know, we plan, and nothing goes according to plan, but, you know. But no, we did the 24-hour stream.
We did.
Which was insanely fun. It wasn't the same as when we had the first 24-hour I joined, where we were all at, you know, the same house together.
Yeah.
But it was still very, very fun, and we had an audience come in and play with us. You and me, we played through the Portal 2.
Mm-hmm. The co-op,
and,
this is a shocking thing. Zaba admitted on stream he'd never played Portal 2.
Never.
A PC gamer is basically, you know, it's basically blasphemy.
Well, so I heard. So immediately everyone was like, "Seriously, you've never played that before?" I saw videos, like not all like long videos. I just saw like segments. I was like, "Nah, this ain't for me. This ain't for me." But eventually, Ram, he was like, "You and me, we do this on the 24-hour." I was like, "Okay, let's do it then." I enjoyed it so much. I eventually sat down and played through the entire campaign. It's so good. I just dismissed that game completely. It was really, really fun. That's all the way down to the way the puzzles were made. All the small systems about getting launched through the maps and you know, having to do things while being in the air and all that. It was so much fun. The humor, the voice acting from the robots, oh my god, it was so well made. So well made. I really enjoyed that game. So if there by any chance is someone like me out there that hasn't tried it, try the game out.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's a beautifully polished game. It's clear that a lot of time and effort went into it to make it out. It doesn't miss a beat the whole way through. You know, it's every sort of like section is just the right length. You know, before it does.
I will say though, like the part of the game where you're like outside of the testing areas,
mm-hmm.
that became a little tedious. You know. I think that could have been a little shorter, but
you talk about the bit where you get access to like the special gels and stuff, and you're like sort of
where you're not being tested per se, like where you're trying to find your way back or find your way to the surface.
Yeah.
It was a great game. That's you know, that's one of the beauties about doing this with you guys, doing the Rant Nerds, because. Mm. There's so many games that I would have dismissed, that I would have never tried had it not been for Rant Nerds, because we all have different tastes in games.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, now you've picked a game that we try, and then someone else pick a game, and it was like, I would have never picked this, but I got to try it, and it's been really, really good, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a... It's probably, so I'd say, one of the pinnacle games. Of, if you had to... If, I don't go for, like, it's the best example of anything. I don't think there is the best, because lots of things can compete for that title, and none of them is, like, one above the other. But it's definitely in the sort of top tier of gaming experiences. It's an, I love how it's spun to very distinct acts. You've got a little prequel where you meet Wheatley, who's voiced by Stephen Merchant, who is the person who... I don't know if you've ever watched the British version of The Office, or like Ricky Gervais' stuff.
No, I know who he is. He has a very distinct voice. You know exactly who he is when you hear his voice.
Yeah, and so the fact that they managed to get him on board was... This is not something you expect to see in a game that got random...
He had a short role as a butler a couple of times in Modern Family, the series.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. So he's a butler, and he's immensely fun.
Mm. But also, he sort of like starts the game off, you know, he wakes you up, and you're sort of, and he sort of like says, "Hey, I need your help." And eventually, you meet up with GLaDOS, who is like one of the best antagonists in a game ever. Beautifully voiced.
Yeah. Well, he does a good job too. I must admit,
there are lots of little details in that game. Later on, the humor later on. There's one bit at the end where he encourages you to commit suicide. He like says, if you just get on, jump in there, you'll be fine. If you do that, if you do that, the game ends with you looking, and he goes, "Oh, I can't believe that worked." He just goes off screen.
Oh, I never tried. I didn't know that.
There's lots of little bits in there like that. But I love the fact that it's sort of the arc. It's like it's just sort of his initial thing. Then, you know, GLaDOS getting back in control, and then you sort of usurping her. And then you get into the background details of Aperture Science, where basically that all the underground bit is you exploring the history and the background of the sort of place and learning how it happened. And then obviously getting back up and escaping, and ends on a song. And every good game should end on a song.
That was actually funny too.
So what are you playing in? I've answered my own question. I was going to ask you if you played it in English, or was there a dubbed version you played? But obviously, sounds like
no. There's rarely dubbed games. Like nothing gets dubbed in Danish, to be honest. I think that's one of the cool things about Denmark compared to like say Germany. Everything gets dubbed in Germany. Nothing gets dubbed here. Like everything in TV or in the cinemas or anything like that, everything is in English.
Really?
It's a good thing. It's very good, because I think that's primarily why we also become better at English in Denmark. There's other countries that do the same, of course. But yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How about the humor? Did the humor translate well? Was there anything you felt like you didn't make sense or?
No. I think we have I think that we have kind of like the same humor here in Denmark. Yeah. So I think it translated very well.
Cool.
There was nothing like I was like, well, I didn't understand that.
Oh no! I just some of the lines in that is just so hilarious. I think my favorite is, "Look at you flying grace through the air like an eagle piloting a blimp." If you go on YouTube and like look up like the best GLaDOS lines or the best Wheatley lines, they're like they'll put like video compilations that they're like an hour long. It doesn't miss a beat. The writing is spot on every step of the way. It got a bit of controversy later on, a few years after Solvids, because the jokes made about adoption. Some people felt was a bit sort of like mean, but I think that's a bit of a stonker, because GLaDOS is not a nice person.
But seriously though, like, see, I think that's I'm not gonna get into a rant here, but I think that's kind of like what the world has come to. Like, oh my god, we gotta find this thing and we're gonna whine about it. It's make believe. Come on, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And the thing is, GLaDOS isn't a good person. She's the bad guy. At that stage, so her saying nasty things is kind of on spec for her, you know. So it sort of makes sense in that regards. So it is a fab game. Because obviously, as you say, we played the co-op experience, which is very different, because one of the things they said when they were developing it, they was like, they found that anything to do with timing or like precision didn't work very well in single player. People did find it frustrating, but in co-op, people loved it. So co-op tends to do a lot more timing, precision stuff in the co-op mode.
I can kind of see that. And I, to some extent, feel like the co-op mode is better, but you get the story in the campaign, which is well worth it. And also, we didn't get to finish it. We should probably do that at some point.
We should.
With the co-op.
We're very close to finishing. I think we had like one chamber left to go. We were very close. You know, one like segment to go. We got very close, but we didn't quite finish. But so we do need to finish it off at some point.
but at the end, though, on that stream, that was at the end of the 24-hour we played that. Yeah,
let's my play a brain, puzzle game.
my brain went to mush. At that one point, I just heard you raising your voice, Saber, it's this. It's like I didn't get a clue.
Like, for fuck's sake, Saber, just put your fucking portal fucking there. Yeah. That's all you need to do.
And the worst part was, I didn't get the whole blue-orange thing. I didn't get that before. No. I actually started playing the single player. I was like, oh, they have different colors, and it's shown on the screen.
Yeah,
like when you're aiming.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The amount of times you like say, "Push air button," you press for that portal, press the other one.
Yeah, it baffles me. We even got that far.
Weird, bro. Yeah. It was you got the hang of it. It's just as you say, that time of the morning. Because see, the advantage I had was, I had gone and had a little sleep for an hour and a half, couple hours. So I was refreshed, whereas you'd had yours before mine. So you've been playing Hunt Showdown, which in itself isn't exactly, although not puzzle game, is mentally tiring game in itself. And then I come and say, hey, let's play a puzzle game.
I think that was, at the time, it was the absolute correct choice to go for Hunt Showdown because I had had sleep.
Yes. Yeah.
It just made sense having something where you need to really concentrate, because otherwise I could have easily fallen asleep again. Doing the 24-hour, it's not a joke. Like it's it's hard.
Yeah. Shout out to Skaz though, who powered through the whole thing.
He's a beast. Every freaking time he just powers through. I do love the fact that he got the chance though to just sit back and relax a little bit toward the end when we play Portal 2.
Yes, that was nice.
Because that's not usual for him to be able to do that.
No, normally he's boomf all the way through. He's done a couple just by himself. Well, he's done about three, I think, just by himself.
Yeah, he's a beast.
I think I'd have so much eye strain, and my commentary at the end would be like the. This is going to go left.
Mush.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Brain. Oh shit. Die. So shout out to him for coming on through. But no, it was nice to be back in the saddle for the Trade for Our live stream, because I'd missed a couple because basically it had fallen bad for work purposes. Yeah. So it was nice to be back on it and doing it again.
Yeah, and same for me, because doing the first one when I was visiting Skaz, when we were all hanging out doing it, it was very fun. And I said the other years as well, like we could have done like we did this year. I think we should keep doing it that way if we can't plan it so we are together at one location. I think this is the way to do it.
It worked well.
And the fact that we had so many of the usual viewers of Skaz's stream, and also I think a lot of them also joined this stuff as well.
Yeah, I know a couple of them watched.
About the gaming, that they came in and joined and participated and played games with us, especially the Gang Beast stuff.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was really fun. that was a really so good fun. Game.
Yeah. Watching people get thrown to choppers and stuff. But.
Yeah.
Not going to play without a controller, though.
Huh?
Not going to play without a controller. I was playing mouse and keyboard, and that was very hard.
Dude, I would have taken my break then.
Yeah.
Rather than just play.
That's my excuse for why I lost nearly every match or like died very early matches. I was using mouse and keyboard. Nothing to do with my skill level whatsoever. It's purely because I was using mouse and keyboard. Nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Every time I died, it was because my.
You had that shorted out.
Yeah, yeah.
You had that awful lag issue, didn't you? That awful ping issue happened every single time, didn't it?
All you guys were in the UK. I was in Denmark. I had the worst ping out of everyone.
Right, so that's why I messed up.
Yeah.
Of course, you with your fancy, you know, full fiber internet connection that we all pray for. Oh, actually, I can get it now.
I don't have fiber no more, dude.
No, what do you want at the moment?
No, when we on cable.
And what's that giving you? Huh? All the UK people are going to be very frustrated in a second. What speeds are you getting there, Saber?
I know. I'm going to, we've had this talk before. So I know when I say the speeds, and I then emphasize that's bad in Denmark. Those speeds are not good. That you guys are going to be like.
Yeah.
That's usually the good speeds in our country.
Yeah.
I think we just got upgraded, and I think we're sitting at 300 meg down,
and that's the bad speed.
And 50 meg up.
That's 50, the bad
only
50 speed.
Meg up.
Only yeah, 50. Yeah. Only 50.
When I lived at the house, I had 500 meg down, 500 meg up.
Yeah. I say across the UK, people are like, "What the fuck?" Most people are like pushing 80. If they're good, they've got a good connection. It's like pushing 80.
Yeah.
So, although I said that, we have now most places in our area have now had full fiber installed, and I'm going to hopefully very shortly be getting full fiber. And when I get that, I've been told that I should be getting 900 down. And 450 up.
The joys of fiber, dude. The joys of fiber.
Fiber, yeah. At long last, we've caught up the Danish. It took us several years, but we've got there.
See, but we haven't completely. Like, it's not everywhere that we have the fiber option, because here we don't have like the fiber option. No. We only and.
But your cable stores a lot faster than most people get. Most people are stuck with like broadband speeds.
Well, okay, let me put it this way: there's so much fiber in Denmark and so much cable in Denmark. That they've started, like, you can't get internet through a phone line almost. It's almost impossible to get it in Denmark.
We're actually getting rid of our landlines in 2025. Landlines will be gone. Okay. It'll all be VoIP.
Yeah.
So that long lasts. I
know nothing about what happens in Denmark in that regard.
I think very much a generational thing. I can't imagine many. I certainly haven't got a landline. I have a mobile phone. Why would I need a landline for? And I can't imagine a lot of people these days have landlines anymore, because what do you need them for? If you have a mobile phone.
I think a lot of companies in Denmark still have it, which is kind of dumb.
But even those, a lot of those go through like digital switches and stuff rather than actually through a phone line in the wall.
Yeah.
But, cool. Oh well, we can all be jealous of Abe's internet connection later.
No, just be jealous about it right now. So the rest of this episode, be jealous.
Right. So moving on from 24 hours. So I've been playing. I quite like, because obviously we've obviously discussed lots of multiplayer games and stuff in the past. We don't tend to discuss a lot of single player games because we tend to game together, so multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So it's all single players. And I am quite a fan of, and regular listeners will know this, I'm quite a fan of like survival horror games. Particularly the ones that are like very much like you basically. So for my favourite game series, have you heard of the Amnesia game series?
Yes.
Yeah, they're one of my favourite survival horrors. You basically can't fight back. All you can do is hide and run.
We played one of them on the 24-hour stream. The first one I joined.
Yes, I think we played Amnesia Machine for Pigs.
Yes, exactly.
The first one. Yeah, they also made another one called if sort of like old style horror isn't your thing. They made another one called Soma, which is sort of futuristic science fiction. It is utterly fantastic. if you don't,
I've just seen that one. I've seen that one.
Honestly, if you don't mind the sort of like sneaking around, sort of running and hiding type style of play, play mm-hmm. Soma. Soma is amazing. Is one of my favorite games of all time. The storyline is amazing. The sort of characterization is so the atmosphere is incredible. So if you like that sort of game, I would honestly pick it up.
Grabbing my phone right now. I'm making a note.
Yeah. But jeez.
Soma.
Yeah, it's you can pick up quite cheap now. It's fair because it's quite an old game. You can pick up fairly cheap now. But yeah, it's a story heavy game, but beautifully heavy. It's all about sort of exploration, like this underwater base. It's an amazing game. And does sort of it's basically based on a very deep philosophy about sort of who are we and what we are. But I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it because it is really, really, really
the meaning
good.
Of life type shit, huh?
Yeah, actually, it is. Down, it is. It does. It got. It sort of skirts around that sort of subject matter. It certainly does.
All right.
Yeah. No. Honestly, and what's great about Soma as well? They did a whole series of, like live action videos. Like in preparation, they released these live action like shorts, YouTube shorts, in preparation for it. Like little, which were like sort of set in this base and so forth. Like it's all proper actors and stuff, which were really well done. And they also then actually made a short like prequel, sort of a movie. It's basically like sort of 8 or 9 like mini sort of like 5-minute long, 6-minute long episodes that's all roughly string together in a rough plot line. So it's sort of like a movie, like prequel type movie. Really neatly done. It is a fantastic game. But yeah, if you like sort of stealth, if you don't mind stealth games, Soma's fantastic.
I'm not much of a stealth guy, but I can do it. It's not that, but you know, well, you've seen in game night so many times.
Yeah,
stealth not my thing, but
you have to. It's because you are basically all the monsters you, all the creatures and monsters you face can hurt you, but you can't hurt them. So you have to avoid them or sneak around them or like use the way they did. But what's neat about Soma, I'll if I'm not careful, I'll get stuck talking about Soma. I promise not to do this. But what's neat is that every sort of like section, the monster you face is different to all the previous ones. So like every section, you get a different monster completely. So it's not like you encounter the same enemies multiple times throughout the whole game. You get all different ones every single time. It is, beautiful. I like this sort of survival games. I also like quite unfair sort of survival games. I think it's all Green Hell, where the game is fairly unfair. Once you get sort of handle on it, it's not so bad, but anything can kill you really quickly. If you're not careful, you still be a little bit cautious. You can sort of like get yourself some gear up and stuff, but even you got all geared up, you can still be laid low very quickly if you're not paying attention to what you're doing.
Right.
I like those sort of games. I also like feeling of sort of stress put on you. It's a nice sort of stress. So I picked up this, I actually had it in my library already, and I saw a couple talking about it on Reddit, and it's a game called Darkwood, and it's a top down sort of 2D game. It's a horror game, and it's set, well, there's not a lot of backstory in the first bit. All I know is that it's set in the air quotes the Darkwood, and you are a some guy's fire, and all it basically says is that at some point, the wood sort of like, almost all like, well, obviously the wood is alive, but this like forest sort of came alive, and basically started taking back over everything. So basically, sort of like, it's like, sort of like the trees are like, sort of like, gradually growing really quickly and sort of advancing on like, and taking over buildings and roads and destroying them, and any sort of like thing caught in between, it gets like sort of picked up and held and sort of gradually sort of dissolved away and into the trees. It's sort of quite creepy thing, and the game is said basically you're trying to escape the Darkwood, and there's a prequel source section of the game which is like the tutorial where you play a doctor who is basically sort of going about his day-to-day sort of life in the Darkwood. He's in a building, he's got a generator power. Basically the game is that during the day you're safe, but at night it gets very dangerous. It's a bit like 7 Days to Die, But yeah. At night, it is fatal to be outside. The creatures that attack you are so quick. Is you have to be in cover. You have to be protected. You can like go into buildings. You can barricade up buildings, barricade up doors, barricade up windows. Everything will try put set traps to try and catch things that are coming in and stuff to try and protect yourself from them. Because it is just basically lethal being outside at night. The game is deliberately sort of like, when I say it's sort of like, it starts off where you have absolutely nothing. So at the start of the game, you don't even know what time of day it is. You basically rely on the fact that, to make it work, what your character has like a vision cone in front of them. So imagine like a 45 degree arc that sits in front of them. So you have like a 360 degrees sort of like view round you, which is sort of lit up, and then you've got this arc in front of you, and only what's in the arc can you see. You sort of see the background and stuff, but you can't see like people moving around, objects, unless they're in that vision cone of yours. Yeah. And what the game does is sort of give you an idea of what time it is that colour of that vision cone will change over the course of the day. So at the early hours of the morning, it's all quite bright, so grass is really green. Then as it sort of gets later on, it will grab more muted and more like sort of like goldeny colour. Like when the sun goes down, you get sort of like goldeny colour. In real life, it sort of does that. That's sort of your clue of like, okay, night's coming soon. And then when night does come down, your vision cone gradually recedes back, so you see less and less, to the point where basically you can literally see like just in front of you, and you're pitch black and dark. And at that point, if you're not inside a building, you're dead. You know, you've just got to run and hope you get inside, because what can chase you down can chase you down very quickly, and it will kill you very quickly as well. And even if you're in building, there are things that will try and break in. Your all safe areas have like these sort of like gas emitters that sort of produce a gas that supposedly protects you from whatever's outside, but something can still break through doors and stuff and come at you. So it starts off.
That's like, an interesting mechanic, actually.
It is an interesting mechanic. It's a nice twist on things I've seen in the past. I love games where the night is dangerous. You know, you should be like sort of like hunkering down. So, like, have you ever played Stalker? Have you heard of Stalker?
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I've never played, I think.
Okay, Stalker, the original Stalker. That's not very good. They're all good.
That was a first-person shooter, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
and at night, it's pitch black. Outside is pitch black. You can have a head torch. If you have a head torch on, you're basically litting up to everything. And there are creatures that roam the night and will hunt down and stuff and come after you in the dark. They're very hard to find in the dark. So your best bet at night in Stalker is to hold up somewhere, unless you're really well equipped and stuff. Your best bet is to find a campfire somewhere, hold up there and just wait it out. Go out the next day. This game's sort of along those sort of lines. Your best bet is to you have to wait it out. But it's all like this. It creates a bit of tension because how the game works, you have like sort of the stay phase, and the night phase will come, and gradually it gets darker and darker, and fiends can attack you. Then eventually, like a timer runs out, and the game will then white out, and they'll say, right, the next day, and off you go for the next day, and the sort of round starts. I think daytime is about 9 minutes long, 9-10 minutes long, and night's about 3 minutes long, sort of time-wise. To give you an idea of roughly how long it takes. But you basically, other than that, it's your normal sort of survival craft. You have to find stuff, you have to craft things, build things. To like you'll find wood and nails to like plank up your building with. You're basically you're more scavenging stuff because it's just a broken world. You'll find old buildings and stuff. You start with absolutely no way to defend yourself. You can't even punch or kick. You have to make a weapon, which can be something as simple as a board with some nails in it. You can also do it's got crafting and stuff. You only have like your initial inventory is really tiny. It's like 10 things you can have. Some things stack, but it's very tiny. Your hotbar can only have 3 things on it to start with. You can upgrade that as well and upgrade your inventory as well at the same time. There's like a workbench. It's on paper, it's basically everything that I should love.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I found a hard time engaging with it. I've not been seeing its praise a bit, but I've actually struggled to get into it.
Is it the immersion or?
I really don't know. It's like it just hasn't grabbed. It hasn't like grabbed me. Everything about it ticks all the boxes of things I like.
Yeah, on paper, it should be the perfect game, yeah?
Yeah, it should be. When I was reading, I thought, this sounds perfect. This sounds exactly what I want to play. The atmosphere is good. I think the trouble is, I've discovered that, maybe it's just me become more of a coward, but when games don't have an objective, I'm like, well, why would I ever go anywhere? I'm quite happy in this building. I'm safe here. Why would I want to go anywhere? That's silly, Danny. So I kind of need something to work towards. And after a couple of nights, you do get like an objective to work towards and go forth. And now I've sort of pushed myself to play it more. The first time I sat down and played it, which was on Saturday, I thought I'd like a whole afternoon and evening, thought I could put hours into this. Yeah. I played it for about 15 minutes and just like quit out.
That's not good.
No. So this afternoon, I thought I'm going to give it another go. So I've put about another sort of 2-3 hours into it. I'm now sort of starting to get sort of to grips with what I want to do. It's now sort of starting to sort of work its way into me. So, but it's definitely a game I feel like I have to push myself to play. Once I get to a certain critical point, I'll actually be hooked onto it. Now I'm sort of like unlocking, obviously the game doesn't really tell you how to do anything. It gives you really basic instructions, but doesn't tell you like how to find things, how to get things. It's up to you to work it out for yourself. And it says at the start, it says like, look, this game won't hold your hand. You've got to figure this all out for yourself. But I feel that some things it could teach you what to do. There's some things like it's basic mechanics, it could teach you what to do. The combat system I'm not a great fan of, because you have to basically, before you can strike, you have to aim. I know it sounds silly that of course you have to aim for each strike, but when you're swinging like a melee weapon, you have to basically hold down aim button, sort of like wind up your attack, and then you can push one to swing an attack. So you can't sort of like thing, which feels a bit weird for certain things. Yeah. I can say if you like using guns and stuff, it makes sense, but for melee weapons, feels a bit strange. I'm sort of starting to get into it, but I can feel it's one of those games that I felt if I stopped now and never went back to, I would feel no desire to go back to. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's there's these games out there that when you sit down, even though it's not the perfect game on paper, it ends up being absolutely amazing. And then there are these games out there that, hey, I love these type of games, and it checks all the boxes, and then there's something wrong with the immersion, or like you said, there's no goal to the game, or no objectives or whatever, so you kind of get stuck.
Yeah, there is an objective, but there's little to start with. So your objective is after the prequel, you play as this doctor in the prequel, and he finds somebody who he realizes this person might have a way out the area where he wants to escape, so he kidnaps him and basically sort of tortures him and so forth to get the information out and steals the key to get out. The proper game, you play as the person he found after you escape, and your goal is to basically find this doctor, find a key, but there's nothing. You literally start, I'm in a house. Okay, what do I do? I'll wander out here, just wander around a bit and just look for something. And there's nothing sort of, you're just wandering around thinking, well, am I just wasting time doing this? Or am I actually I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I'm going. And just something to sort of point you in the direction is what's needed. People seem to love it. It seems to get, lots of people seem to love this game. I don't feel unfair to say it's, I won't say it's a bad game. In any sort of ways, I don't want to say it's like terrible like that. It's not gripped me. It's maybe if I push myself to play a bit more, it might sort of like wear itself. I might sort of like get into it because I'm interested in the storyline. The storyline, the idea, I think is interesting. I want to know more about it because like you are finding all these sort of mutant creatures, and I want to find more about what's going on, but I just haven't quite gripped into it. But it's a neat concept anyway. I'll say that much about it.
That's the thing about games as well. Like, even if it's not necessarily the best game for you, it's also a matter of taste and perception and blah, 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 So other people might enjoy it a hell of a lot.
I think there's a lot of people who forget that a game I don't like doesn't make a game bad. I don't like this film, doesn't make the film bad. I don't like this TV series or this book or this music, doesn't make the music bad or the film or the TV, whatever, just because you don't like it. There are things that are bad, that are objectively bad design, if like fans of the genre don't like and so forth. But there are lots of things that, I mean, I have no interest in playing football games, you know, like Football Manager and so forth. But people lap those up and love them. I have zero interest. I tried playing a Football Manager game once. It didn't go well. And, you know, I basically told my team they're a bunch of idiots. You could do like, you had to do like a mid-match sort of like briefing. And I basically said, you're a bunch of idiots, get out there and destroy him. You know, do what?
You can just imagine that. You bunch of bellends.
That's basically it. That was my experience with Football Manager, was just telling my players they're a bunch of idiots. Because obviously you've got all these players that I don't know who they are. This is a list of names. It's like, but you know, I thought, you know, I know literally nothing about football. I know a few names. I know a few teams. I know roughly the rules. But other than that, I know basically nothing. So playing Football Manager, when you sort of expected to know these things before you start, was an interesting experience. Because I thought to myself, well, at the end of the day, it's about making numbers go up. And I like making numbers go up in games. So I'm just going to make numbers go up. And it's basically a spreadsheet. I thought I could figure this out. But no, I couldn't figure it out. And I got so frustrated. I think my team played one match. So I didn't realize the match was real. I went to play the match, and I assumed you play the match, you'd like sort of like speed through and accelerate it. But no, it just played the entire match. It's like, what the fuck? Are they actually going to play it? So I sort of left it running, went and had some tea and came back and shouted at my team. They went away again, came back and like, oh, right, yeah. But yeah, that was the best bit. I think you could shout at your team. That was the best bit about the whole game.
Well, there could be something therapeutic about that game then, you know, getting your aggressions out.
So I don't know what any of these numbers mean. I'll just hire that person. I'm sure he's good. He's got high numbers. Mm. He must be good. Yeah. But no, so
talk about...
No, you go on.
No, it's just about... because you're not done with the game, so just continue because I was about to take it somewhere else.
Oh, okay. I'll say Darkwood might be a good game if you like that. If you get a little hump in the start of it, so I'm not prepared to write it off yet. I might see how I play it some more and see if I get into it. But yeah, so that's all my review of Darkwood. But I'll put a link in the show notes. People can have a look at it, see what they think.
Yeah.
So, all right, over to you.
I was about to say about, you know, there when it comes to things not necessarily being like when we say something is bad and it's not necessarily bad for everyone, there are certain aspects where it is. Like there's been a lot of games out there that has been made into movies, and a lot of those tend to like go bad, like really really bad. I'm about to find out on Tuesday. So Victoria, my daughter, was home, and she's just been home this weekend here, and she was like, Dad, on Thursday, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie, it premieres.
It does, doesn't it?
And she loves that. She's been so hyped about that, and she was like, "Dad, can we go watch it? Can we, please? I want to go watch it with you." So I just ordered tickets today for Tuesday. So Tuesday night, me and my daughter, we're gonna go watch Five Nights at Freddy's. And to be honest, because there's been so many, and here's the thing, here's what might actually happen, because I have so low expectations for this movie that I'm probably gonna end up going out of there be like, this is the best movie ever.
Probably, yeah.
But she's very hyped about this thing, and I'm like, she wants to go. Let's go then, you know.
for what I've seen of the people who have spent, who actually, because it's been released some places already, it's been some people had seen the previews and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a fan of the game, you'll probably like the film. But it's definitely aimed very much squarely at that sort of. How old is Victoria?
She's She's 16.
It's very much aimed at her age range. It's not aimed at me or you.
Yeah.
It's very much
She showed me a video of a bunch of YouTubers that went to visit the studio where it was all made and filmed and everything. They actually made, like, you know, the Freddy and the other things. I don't know their names.
They made them
robots. There was robots, dude.
They're made by Jim Henderson Company.
They are?
Yeah, they made the Jim Henson have like a division now who got involved in making those animatronics.
Yeah,
which
that's cool though.
That's their thing.
Yeah, but it's really cool. They made robots like it's really cool.
I've seen like the trailers from the trailers and stuff for it, and from what I can see, the animatronics are very accurate to the game. Mm-hmm. I've never played a Five Nights at Freddy game. I remember them coming out, and I remember them being all the rage. Everybody was like, they were like incredibly popular, and the guy made it like in a few months, because it's literally just like sort of mostly screenshots rather than actual movement per se. It's only a few bits of animation in the whole game.
Yeah.
And then obviously it spawned like, I think it's been like 7 Five Nights at Freddy games, I think. And I missed the boat. I missed the boat on Final Fantasy. I think by the time it was like, so I might give it a go, I sort of missed it. And so I never got into it. Also, I'm not a fan of jump scares. I think jump scares are cheap horror. Because I could be sat here and if a picture fell off the wall, I'd jump. That's not scary, mm-hmm. That's annoying. So jump scares, I much more prefer psychological horror or like sort of tangible horror. Jump scares always just felt cheap to me, which is why I was like, probably not really interested in the game for that reason. Because I saw what it relies on a lot, from what I understand. But I saw like, should I give it a go? I've always sort of debated giving it a go. But yeah, having seen like the game and videos of the game and then seeing the film, it looks very... The characters look very... They're recognisable. I recognise. Oh, I know. See which character. I know some of the characters' name. I think there's Freddy. There's one called Foxy. One called Chica, I think. There is. I think, yeah. I
know nothing about... Like, I've seen... I know that there are games. And I know that they were horror games and whatnot. I know nothing. I know that the latest one they made, the latest game, you could get that as a VR game as well.
Oh, really? Fucking hell.
Yes. Because I think my nephew played that game in VR. But yeah, it's so... But other than that, I know nothing about the character names other than Freddy, and that's that.
Yeah.
My daughter keeps talking about something called a spring lock failure or something. Like, I don't know what the hell it is. But apparently there's something something really cool, and it's in the movie apparently what she's heard.
I've read why Sony's will do with it if it's games like I have actually read the backstory to it. I've actually went on the wiki and I've read the backstory of what happens and so forth. So I sort of know the backstory roughly. I don't know. I'm not a lore expert by any means, but I know the backstory of what happens. I believe the film is loosely based on the backstory. I don't think it's like a direct copy of the game. I think it's sort of like they've took the sort of basic concept and sort of like changed it up for the film. So, but I'll be interested to see on our next podcast what you think of the film.
Yes.
Something to discuss.
See, that's the thing though. Like, I used to game a hell of a lot back in the day. Not so much anymore. That's where this whole renders thing is good. Because I get to play games and have fun. But, there's so much going on in my life and there's so much other shit that I want to do as well. Play music and then there's films and TV shows and all kinds of other stuff that I watch.
That's sort of what I... Right now, that's what made me go, shit, I need to play a game. I better go quickly play one. Go on Steam. Go on How Long to Beat. Sort by shortest game times. Oh, that's a 3-hour game. I can do that in an afternoon. Off we go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we now we got to play for the king.
Well, yes, exactly. So
we talked about that a lot over the game nights. That mm-hmm. you know, me and Skaz talked about wanting to bring you in to For the King.
It was on our list.
It was on the list, yeah. Sadly enough, we never got to, you know, do it all three of us. But we've done a couple of game nights, yeah,
with
For the King. Yep. What do you think of it so far?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm impressed with Shibuto. So it's a sort of like turn-based, almost board game-esque. Mm-hmm. style game. Each person takes it in turns to move around this hex board, and the backstory is something about some evil coming over the, like, you know, the usual fantasy backstory. Something evil's happening, you've got to go defeat it. Off you go. We want you to go defeat this massive evil. Here's a rusty pickaxe, good luck. You know, sort out on the way past. We could give you an army, but we're not going to. Here's a dodgy, cheap bargain basement bow and no armor. Off you go.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's all about sort of like killing mobs, exploring sort of caves, leveling up, getting better gear. But I've enjoyed it. Our first match ended in a we might have bit off a bit more we could chew in our first match.
Nah.
Yeah. We'd like to tell the lovely players what happens, Abe, in our first match.
So I remember Ram, he was like, here's a dungeon, let's enter that one. It was me. Oh, okay, so there was a dungeon and I was like, hey, let's Ram, we'll do this one.
We were level two at the time. We were level two at the time, I'll point out.
Yeah, and I think we found out afterwards that dungeon was level five.
It was four or five. Yeah,
eventually we got to a boss fight where we couldn't deal damage to him because we were too low level. He wasn't having it.
If I got a perfect hit, I did 1 point of damage, and he had like 60 health. And every time he hit us, he took like half our health away every time he hit us.
Toward the end of that fight, every other turn you had to spend on reviving me.
and vice versa. Yeah. It was an exciting, interesting sort of end to the game, but
didn't die as lot. You didn't die as much as I did because you had a lot more evasion. So you were dodging a lot of his attacks. You know, really cool since you were lower level, but yeah. It's a brutal game though. Like you get punished for not thinking about what you're doing. And I like that. Like it's not one of those games that hold your hand and be like, we're going to give you everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I think it's a really, really awesome game. The second one's coming out in, I think, 2 weeks or something like that. Or next week. On Thursday it's coming out next week.
Oh, yeah.
On the 2nd of November. You can actually pre-purchase it right now on Steam.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's a very... it looks like a small team. It's also a small team developed game. There isn't a great deal of like character customization. You basically can pick whether you wear a hat or not. And you can change like a couple of colors from like a small palette of colors. It's not a huge amount of character customization, and the leveling up is, it's automatic. There is, you don't really choose what you do.
You don't get talent points or anything where you can, like, you know, upgrade this and that other than what you get from your gear, yeah?
Gear is your only way of basically controlling what you do. Your gear is your only sort of upgrade. I like the skill system, which is based on all your characters have a sort of like a skill. They have like a percentage chance to do it. So if your skill is, say, mine, for example, my character's got a high perception of 81, so any skill check that requires a high perception, they've got like an 81% chance of doing it. But tied to that is like a dice roll with, you have like a number of slots, and they vary. Some you only have like two, some you have one, some you have like five, and you basically have to roll for each of the slots, and if you get more slots you get, the better the result you're going to get. So
yeah,
it becomes more.
That's where you can spend the focus and whatnot. The focus system comes to play there.
Yeah. The focus basically guarantees you a slot. You're going to do it. You're going to pass it. It's a neat system. I like the focus system. It's a neat little system because it makes sort of like it's a tactical decision, but it's not like a super hard tactical decision. It's like, should I do it or shouldn't I? I can afford to spend one here and so forth. You're not going to be totally screwed over if you ignore it or do stuff. It's also nice that you can have things where, what I also like is that when you come like in a dungeon, if you come across stuff, you can just choose to pass it to another player. If they're like, oh, you're better at this, yeah, you take it.
Because like each class that you can pick from has certain stats that are, well, is that called elevated compared to other classes?
Yeah.
And that's based around the class. And then some choices you make throughout the game, if you have a higher, luck chance or whatever it would be, luck stat, you would then fare better in that choice. So passing it on to the other player, which has the higher stat in that, in luck, you would then be able to do better.
Yeah, it's like talent. Yeah, if like there's one that's like talent and stuff, and all the weapons as well are based on one of your stats. So for me, my character, as I say, is perception. So any weapon that uses perception as its stat, and it's I'll automatically do a lot more damage with. I'll do a lot more. I'll better chance to hit. Your character is a strength character.
Yes.
Anything that involves hitting, and you very quickly, if you saw like. Now we saw you obviously played it before, so you saw know what doing, but now I saw know what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to make sure I pick this weapon and stuff. You suddenly, the sort of steamroll happens quite nicely. My favouritest bit of our one last night was where we were fighting those, what were they? Were they like, come on, what creatures they were. But one of them scared you, and your character just fucked off and left me to it. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was those big guys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like minotaurs or something like that. I think it was something. Yeah.
Stuff like that. We both did damage. We both did a bit of damage each. And then, we both smashed at this character. Then they scared you. Your character fucked off. It was like, shit, it's all down to me now. And I've got a weapon that has to be reloaded every turn. Fuck. Still won. But that was hilarious. Just watching your character go, bye, I'm off.
that's actually one thing about the game I dislike a little bit. The fact that they can if a mob or whatever you call it fears you out of the fight, you don't get XP, you don't get anything, you don't get gold, you don't get gear, you get nothing.
Yeah. One thing I've liked so much about so far is it doesn't appear to be a great deal, at least at this moment, doesn't appear to be a great deal of grinding so far.
No, well, XP grinding is a thing. We kill a lot of mobs, at least on this run that we're on right now.
But we don't have to do a lot to get our level up and so forth, at least not so far.
No.
My dislike of a lot of RPG games is full-on XP grinding. I really dislike it. That's why I've never really gelled like most MMOs, because there's a lot of grinding involved in MMO. That's why I've never really gelled them, because I just want to progress. Yeah. I don't want to like be doing, why do I need to do this thing 10 times in order to progress a bit when I could just do the next level and I'm there? It just feels like it feels like artificial lengthening of a game.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it doesn't go like that.
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, I've played it. Me and Skaz, we went pretty far in it, and it didn't seem grindy at all.
No.
But there's more parts to the game that you're going to experience. I'm not going to talk about it now because I don't want to take away from your experience. But there's going to be a few more things that we can do.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Well, hopefully you'll be able to see some footage of that game coming out. I can't remember when we'll call it the trial game. Our first one. I think that comes out not this week, but the week after next. I think that comes live. You'll be able to see that. And then our more proper game you'll see coming out you know, just after that one. And you'll get to see how the game works, how the game plays, and see how it sort of works. So, and what's quite nice, because you can say, you know, it's multiplayer, you can save the session and we can carry on. So we can basically keep working our way through the co-op campaign, which is really neat. I like that. That's really, really neat.
It can be a long game. Like, I've never tried beating it, so, but it also clearly states in the what's it called, like when you load up the games, like, boom, you know, don't expect to fare well in this game, blah blah blah, because, you know, it's hard. Or at least if you make bad choices, you get punished for it.
Yeah,
which I'm a big fan of. I love games like that.
Oh yeah,
But what you said about MMOs as well, like, so I get where you're coming from with this whole you don't want to grind, but I will say one thing, because I played a lot of WoW and I played a lot of MMOs actually. That, yes, some games are very grindy. Some MMOs are very grindy. But when you then get to the end and you can do this and that, it is so much more rewarding because it's been a grind, or it's because it's been done. Yes, there is a thing as, you know, it's too grindy. Yeah. But when you have to do X, Y, Z amount of times of this dungeon to get a level, or, you know, work so and so hard to get it without it being too frustrating.
Yeah.
Getting to the end is really rewarding.
I think the grinding's okay if it's a case of you're going online with your mates and you're all doing your own little thing, or perhaps working together or so forth, and you're grinding, and basically it's something you're doing whilst you're just being social.
Yeah.
That thing is probably sort of makes it okay. But when it's, I'll be honest with you, I don't find the, oh, it's more rewarding because it took me three times as long to get here. I don't personally find that very rewarding. I find that frustrating, personally. Yeah. Personally, any game that involves a huge amount of grinding, I basically sort of tend to bounce off after a while. I could put it over a little bit. I could put up a little bit of grinding, but large amounts, I just sort of like lose interest in it, basically. Which happened to me as well.
What was that game, Ram? We played a game. What was it called on game night? Viking-type game where we had to grind a hell of a lot.
Valheim. Again, shout
that
out to...
That game, it's beautiful. It's fun when you're in the fights, but my God, the grinding in that game. That was too much.
Again, shout out to Skaz, who just put basically half his life into grinding the stuff we needed for that game.
Had it not been for Skaz, we would have never gone through it. We would still be playing this game to date.
It's trouble. It's like, it was the exponential growth of the gear. It's like, okay, to make this armor, you need 19 iron ingots. Okay, well, so you need 20 iron ingots. To make an iron ingot, you need 20 iron ore. And then once you've got 20 iron ingots, then to make the next of armor, you need now 20 iron massive ingots, which are made of 20 small ingots, which are made of 20. So basically, it's an exponential growth. It's like, how many hundreds of ore do I need to make this stuff? This is just surfy. That is literally just making things take time for the sake of making things take time. Because if you got rid of
ingots,
if you got rid of all that and that game would only be a few hours long. But again, it's very much that one is obviously set up to be like, again, go along with your mates. You all work towards a project. Shall we build a? Let's build a village. Okay, let's all work together and do it and go and sort of pick up resources and build it. That's what sort of aiming towards. But gear grind and stuff. And the trouble was that game was set. You had to have the gear. You just couldn't do it without it.
Exactly.
I was very pleased to uninstall Valheim from my system.
Oh yeah, same. Never touching it again ever. Like never. Yeah. Ever touching it, even if they make an update to the game, making it like insanely less grindy, not gonna touch it. I've had my fill of that game. Never gonna touch it. It's a beautiful game. The fights were fun, but it's too much. Yeah. But again, we might say that. Some other people might enjoy that a hell of a lot. And yeah, you know,
yeah, like I say, I can see it. That's the sort of game that I would have happily played probably about sort of 15, 20 years ago, when like I was at college, and all I did every evening was go online and play games with my friends. That's all I did in the evenings. That's the sort of game that we would have played, because we'd just play it for like 4 or 5 hours every night. And like I say, you're not really paying much attention to the game. You're just doing stuff and you're talking with people and you're chatting with people. And you're just being, it's just a sort of social side of it. And the game's just something to do. It's been like a lot of these sort of like Korean MMO type games. Like I played one, it was called Repels, it was called. And that takes grinding to like, that's like Valheim level grinding to even higher standards. It's basically there. I asked a friend, said, okay mate, so he said, oh, it's got some story missions in it. So I said, if it's got some good story missions, I'll play it. And he said, oh, yeah, you've got story missions in it. So I'm playing. It's like, okay, well, this guy's asked me to go kill 10 of these things. I've killed those 10 things, and he's done with this. This guy's doing 20, and this guy's telling me to do this and this. This guy's asked me to go from one place to B. I'm doing all that. I said to my friend, I said, at what point did these story missions stop? Because all I'm doing is killing things and going back to people, or moving stuff from A to B. He goes, that really is the story in the game. I was like, really? That's it? And he goes, it gets better when you get science. I said, what level does this all get better? He said, oh, about level 150. And I was like, level 10. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Yeah. But when you learn about how that game culture works in like places like Korea, how it works is you go to an internet cafe and you all jump on this game and you're sat round, you know, having your coffees and your bagels playing this game. And it's basically something to do while you're sat round talking to each other. And the game is tilsy, low. You don't really have to concentrate to play the game. And that's deliberate to basically make it work like that. So that's the sort of like dislike I have in these sort of like grindy game. That's why I dislike them, because just don't waste my time. I ain't got a lot of time these days to play a game. I don't want to waste it.
I feel the exact same way nowadays. Yeah. I used to play, like I said, I've played a lot of MMOs in my time. I think one of them that was very grindy was a game called Aeon, an MMO.
Yeah, I've heard of also, that one. That was Korean, wasn't it?
I think so. It was very grindy as well. If I'm remembering it correct, at least. I think there was another one. I just can't remember what the hell it was called. I used to play it with a friend from Norway. I just can't remember what the hell it was called, but it was also very grindy. And also had this like Korean style or Asian style, whatever you call it, to the artwork and whatnot.
Anime style.
Yeah, something like that. Well, Skaz as well, he used to play a game called Raiders, an MMO. My God, I missed that game. It was so much fun. Yes, it had a certain element of grinding to it. Not too much, but it was a lot of the same, like go out and kill 10 of these mobs and kill 15 of those mobs, collect 15 of those things and get them back again, and then get new quests where you have to do rinse and repeat. But you advanced throughout the maps, and here came that amazing thing called dungeons. And the dungeons in that game was absolutely amazing. I think that was one of the funnest things about that game, that was its dungeons. It was, and I think Skaz will vouch for that game as well, being a really, really fun MMO. But yeah, it don't exist no more.
That's unfortunately. That's a shame.
Yeah, we've talked about it many times, me and Skaz, and we're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool being able to play that game again? I think they did something about rushing their release because the game wasn't really done yet. So rather than getting the game released, I think the goal of the game was to have like a max level of level 60, but when they released the game, the max level was level 35. But you got hints at when you got gear that you couldn't equip yet, that there was, you were meant to be, be able to become higher up in level, which kind of ruined the experience that they kind of had a rushed release.
Yeah.
That's what happens, you know.
that's one of the other things I just like about MMOs is leveled gear, leveled locked gear. It's like, here's this sword. You can't use it yet, but it's a sword. But yeah, you can use the iron sword, but you can't use the silver sword because you need to go kill 10 more boar, and then you can use the silver sword.
Well, that's because you need to build your strength. This massive sword is too heavy. You can't lift it, you know?
It's like, motherfucker. Motherfucker, just let me go kill things here. Basically,
let me get my sword, yeah?
Yeah. Basically, when I play a game, I want to be able to go at the end and go, right, this evening, or this time I've played this game, I managed to achieve this, 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 and this. If it's, I killed an awful lot of boar and rabbits and deer, that's not good enough for me. So, I'll try not to start venting, because if I get onto MMOs, I could vent for a long time about my dislike of a lot of MMO mechanics. So, I will steer clear of that.
All right.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Xavier?
No. Not at this point.
Brilliant.
I'm happy that we still get to continue doing this portion of Rant Nerds as well.
Yes, I am
so
too.
I thought it was very important that we kept everything about Rant Nerds alive. Yeah. So I'm very happy we get to do these things still.
So am I. It's so nice to be doing this, and it's going to throw me because we're on a different day of the week, and I've been doing Saturdays for I can't remember how many years, and it's going to completely throw me now, but I'll see it within a couple of weeks, like, oh, that's just normal now. But it's going to be great. It's been so nice to find something that we managed to find time that we could do it, because that's obviously everybody's busy lives these days, so it's so nice we're going to find time to do it, and I really appreciate you coming on board and doing this with us. I really appreciate it. So,
of course, dude. It's always fun.
It's always fun. Right, so just to finish off, we'll just go through things. So you can join us on our next games night for the King, which will be on the 8th of November. You can join me on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/SuffolkRam. I'm hoping to have that redirected to go to RandNerds as well at some point. But at the moment, if you go to that one, you can see my Pacific Twitch channel there. Our next podcast will therefore be on the 9th of November. That's the easy way to remember now. It's always the day after games night, which will be at 6:30 GMT time, or whatever adjustment you need to make for your various classification on games like
just to
half
be
past
a,
eight.
Just to be a cunt, if you happen to stumble across the podcast today, you missed our game night last night. Sorry.
Yeah. You missed it. Oh, it was it was an exclusive games night last night. We didn't record or anything, we just streamed it, and we did amazing things.
Yeah.
We did so many
awesome,
amazing things.
Epic,
yeah.
Even.
It's the best one we've ever done in all times. You're gonna be sad that you missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. Oh, too bad.
Yeah. You can also check us out at our website, which is randnerds.co.uk. You've also got our YouTube channel, youtube.com/randnerds. And you can look out and find us in the future. I'll just say thank you, Xavier, for joining me this evening. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
thank you, everyone who's joined us this evening to watch. Look forward to seeing you in a fortnight's time for the next one. And from me, the Suffolk Ram,
Sabermole,
we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a good evening, everybody.
Yeah.